morning. Welcome back to the roundtable, and welcome to one of my favorite segments of this program, and that is Book Picks. We do it each and every Tuesday. We welcome wonderful booksellers from independent bookstores across our region. We are blessed with so many that are just superior, beyond superior, and we invite them in to tell us about cool things that have hit their store shelves so that we can talk about them and get you like really jazzed to read great stuff, especially this fall season. Let me introduce our booksellers to you. We have a brand new one to introduce you to as well. And that's Woo-hoo. Exciting. Very exciting because Mindy K. Bricker is with us from Kinderhook Books, owner of Kinderhook Books, which is a gorgeous, absolutely incredible bookstore. We did an event there with Chris Gibson, and we recorded, and we had a great time, and it was wonderful because it gave me a lot of time to just browse and poke around and look at this wonderful bookstore, and how much fun. Mindy, what a great pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Very nice to welcome aboard. Very nice to have you join the ranks. Jackie Callahan is an old hand at this, has been doing it for a long time, and we are thrilled from the Golden Notebook in Woodstock, New York. Again, another one of our favorite bookstores, and just a wonderful, wonderful place to browse and to snoop around, and it's always fun to talk to Jackie. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Always Excellent. Love being here and love meeting Mindy today, too.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it all. Well, Jackie, we'll start with you.
All right. So the first book I'm going to talk about today is a fiction book called Boy from the North Country.
Oh, man.
By Sam Sussman. What? Are you shocked?
No, I'm about to, I have to, I'm doing a book show interview with him in about 45 minutes.
Oh, well, say hi, because he's a doll.
He is great, and that novel is, man, knock your socks off fantastic.
I thought so, too. I think that it's, one of those kind of rare books, you know, it really works on multiple levels, and at first glance, it's a novel that would intrigue, I think, any Bob Dylan fan. The protagonist, Evan Klausner, is a young, aspiring writer who discovers that his mom, June, had a secret personal connection to Dylan back in the 70s. And, you know, so for Dylan enthusiasts, Boy, I think, offers a rare and intimate glimpse into a time of Dylan's life that hasn't been written about too much, certainly not in fiction. And it kind of, there's snippets of his personal life during a very transformative period when he's writing the songs that form Blood on the Tracks. But the thing is that the Dylan angle is really just the hook. The heart of the book is Evan's relationship with his mom, June. And kind of the framing of the book is that he comes home because she is ill and he has come to take care of her. You know, she's battling ovarian cancer. And kind of what reveals and unfolds slowly is a very tender, beautiful, complicated relationship between the two. And, you know, Evan learns sort of secrets about her and learns about himself, and they have like the best relationship. And he, the book is written with warmth. It's written with insight. It's sort of, it's funny. It's heartbreaking. It's also suspenseful. And, I think also talks a little bit how, you know, we are shaped in some sense by parents, our parents' histories, like no matter who they are, you know? And, we are so excited because we're doing an event with Sam this Saturday, 7 p.m. at Mountain View Studio, and he's going to be in conversation with the writer James Lasden. And, everyone come out and hear this conversation and read this book. It was just published on Monday, and it's a fantastic book.
It really is just an amazing book, and the relationship between the mother and son is just such a beautiful relationship, and he is a caretaker, which is such a difficult, hard, excruciating job, and he just exudes warmth and love and worry, mm-hmm. and sure, frustration, and it's beautifully written mm-hmm. in that manner.
It really is. And I think that another level of the book, too, many levels, is just that he is really caretaking for her. And it is explicit, you know, in that sense. And I don't think that you read... There aren't so many books that go into that, and I was happy to have that.
Especially mother-son.
Especially mother-son.
Yeah, very much. You'll read father-son and daughter-mother, but it was beautifully done. Well, great event. We'll give you more details at the end of the segment. Mindy, are you ready for your debut?
I am.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
I am starting with A New Me by Helen Oyeyemi, which just came out on August 26th. This novel introduces us to a protagonist named Kinga. She's Polish, living in the Czech Republic, Prague specifically, where I actually lived for 7 years.
Oh, okay, cool.
And the twist here is that she is not one person, but seven different versions of herself, one for each day of the week. So Kinga A through Kinga G, who all communicate via a shared notebook or voice memos. And they are a wildly dysfunctional family of identities, all with their own grudges with one another and personal agendas. Oyeyemi plays with voice, perspective, and absurdity. One Kinga is a matchmaker, another a perfumer's muse, another hides secrets. So one, the Sunday Kinga, says that she catches up on television and just stays in bed all day, but she forgets that the fitness tracker on their shared phone is showing that she is taking steps and she is in some suspicious places that is not revealed to the six other Kingas. So the story kicks off when one of the Kingas discovers a man tied up in their apartment, forcing them to confront who tied him up and why. It is not a whodunit necessarily. It is not a book about psychopathology, but a novel that mixes big philosophical questions with the playful, twisty storytelling. So at its core, it's asking, how many versions of ourselves can we contain? Which selves are in service to who we want to be and which are betrayers of that image? So think of what we call the work-life balance, which is not really true, but it's likely no longer balanced. And there is a professional you, a parent you, for us, three jobs yous, you know. And so we're all divided in these various selves. So if you enjoy novels that blur reality and surrealism, that unsettle identity, or that make you laugh, this is a puzzle and a really fun read.
I read the last two of Helen's books, and I say this with as a compliment, but they're just weird.
Yeah.
Just delightfully weird.
Yeah.
And I gotta have to go back sometimes and go, what did I just read? But I love that.
Right?
It's really a lot of fun.
Yeah. If you surrender to the fictive dream here,
yes,
it is a fun ride.
Surrender to the fictive dream. You've already made the quote board.
That's good.
That's fantastic. That's great. It's called A New Me. Jackie.
All right. So if you are looking for a book that has intellect, has fantasy, Katabasis by R.F. Kuang could be it for you. This book has been just like kind of selling like hotcakes from the moment that it came out. R.F. Kuang is the author of the Poppy War series, also Babel, also Yellowface. She is awesome, and this book is so much fun. So we have two PhD magicians. Really, they're getting their PhDs in analytical magic from Cambridge. And it's the 1980s, and a kind of magical misfire kills or maybe scatters their advisor's body and sends his soul to hell. But desperate for that recommendation letter that will give her sort of like the golden career in academics that she wants, Alice Law, who is our protagonist, she drags herself, or really sends herself, on a journey to the underworld to bring her advisor back. And it isn't sort of just the adventure. You know, hell is actually academia, right? It's graduate school. And so the world, really the different eight worlds of hell that Alice Law is in is sort of like the upside down world of Cambridge. It's very cool. It's bureaucratic. It's cruel. There's favoritism. There's envy. You're constantly having to prove your worth. You have shame. There's toxic relationships, rivalry, exhaustion, sort of all of it. It just mirrors, you know, like graduate school. One of our kids is considering a life in academia, and she's going to read this on her Christmas vacation. Anyway, so the prose is extremely sharp. It's very funny. This book is long. It moves. I read it in 2 days. And Katabasis makes you sort of, you know, you reflect on what you sacrifice for prestige. That's certainly what the character is reflecting on. By the way, it's also a love story, too. And, you know, if you've ever been sort of like burned and buried under books late night, you know, undervalued by a mentor or a professor, you're really going to feel this. It's very provocative. It's messy. It's exhilarating. But you're going to be just like, you'll have so much fun. So if you can get a copy, grab one.
All right. It is called Katabasis.
Katabasis means by going down.
F. Kwang. And because what we need is more hell. Put that on the wish list. Mindy, next.
Okay, next up for me is Hunchback by Japanese writer Sao Ichikawa. This was translated by Polly Barton. This novella is, I think, 112 pages. It was a bestseller in Japan, longlisted for the International Booker Prize. We actually have a novella book club at our shop. We read this and we talked about it for 2 hours, which is about long it takes to read it. This is Ichikawa's debut novella that follows Shaka Izawa, a woman in her 40s living with myotubular myopathy. So severe muscle weakness, a curved spine, reliant on ventilators and a wheelchair. From an extremely wealthy family, she inherited the nursing home in which she lives. And despite her physical constraints, Shaka's inner life is fierce. It is vivid. She studies online, writes and sells erotic stories, and then donates that money to causes she cares about. She tweets provocative thoughts and channels desire in ways both imagined and real. The heart of the story is how she negotiates this desire in survival between medical care, societal expectations, ableism. Mm-hmm. Then enter Tanaka, a male caretaker. And when he reveals he's seen both her tweets and read her erotic stories, she pitches to him a relationship that challenges the boundary of power and intimacy. And the story does not shy from the daily realities of her body, so bathing, ventilator maintenance, painful postures, but also insists on the erotic, the absurd, and the fiercely human. It is sharp, provocative, often extremely funny, and deeply unsettling, and not because it exploits Shaka's disability, but because it refuses to let readers ever forget the stakes here. Who is allowed to be seen, to feel desire, to own her own body? It's a pushback against ableism, and it's a raw exploration of what it means to live fully in a body with real physical limits, and an assertion that physical limitations do not erase one's dignity or complexity. It is worth noting that Ichikawa herself has congenital myopathy and is also largely bedridden. So she writes from a perspective that is rarely seen in fiction. This is a great book for those who like to read something that makes you think long after you've put it down.
Sounds remarkable. And I love that you have a novella book club.
Short books. Big stories is what it's called.
I love that.
Look at that. That's a great idea. And it's Hunchback is the newest that we just discussed. All right, Jackie.
All right. So now I'm going to talk about a book that's actually coming out in October.
Next month.
And it's Gabrielle Hamilton. Her book is called Next of Kin, and perhaps some of you may remember Hamilton's first memoir, which the excellent Blood, Bones, and Butter, Next of kin is like its sort of darker sibling, I would say. You know, in this book, she is really looking inward more sharply, kind of not at the restaurant so much, not at the kitchen, but really more about birth, family, loss, memory, and you know, like what that family is what it's more myth than truth, and what that is. And she is looking at her family in the book, her parents, her four older siblings, her upbringing. You know, the family was super charismatic and non-performing, not sentimental, lots of flair and lots of fractures. And key events that kind of force a reckoning is one of her brother's sudden death, another suicide. She's estranged from much of her family. She actually ends up caring for her mother in her final years, even though they didn't have a relationship for decades. She's kind of in the book exploring the mythologies of her family and what was public and what was unsaid. You know, it is like a psychological autopsy of her family. As I was reading this, I was like, my gosh, this is like so much more intense than The Bear. It's not in the kitchen or anything like that, but it is like some really intense, very raw in some places stuff. You know, it's honest. It explores guilt, loneliness, conflict. And I have to say that Gabrielle Hamilton is not sparing on herself either. Like in this book, she is not, you know, you're like, wow, you know, at some moments. And I really admire her incredible honesty in writing into those spaces. It's really something. I think that for readers who really love memoir, who doesn't love memoir? But that kind of, you know, do both things, you know, can talk about rupture, but also talk about beauty, you know, or like complexity, right? See what maybe the underside of success looks like. This is a great book for you. So yeah, Next of Kin by Gabrielle Hamilton.
Excellent. All right, Mindy, you're up.
I have Exit Zero by Marie-Helene Bertino. Yeah, she is the author most recently of the novel Beautyland. Exit Zero is a book of short stories that came out this summer, and we just had Marie and Hilary Leichter, who wrote Terror Story, in our wine garden on Saturday night, so it is front of mine. And I have to say, Joe, if you were to ask me, which you did not ask me, but if you were to ask me, what author, if I could be in an author's body for a day and see the world through their eyes, Marie would be in my top five.
Oh, wow.
She is just a really cool, smart human and absorbs the world around her in a way that is enviable. And I am grateful that she is a writer. You love her, too.
We love her at the Golden Notebook. We've been so fortunate to do events with her. She's a brilliant writer. You know, she won a Guggenheim this year. And, Beautyland, so much fun. Mm-hmm. Love her.
Yeah. So Exit Zero is a collection of 12 stories which drop the surreal right into everyday life. Backyard unicorns. We've got apartments over with parakeets. Ex-boyfriends raining from the sky. And what might sound whimsical on the surface becomes something far richer. These are stories that explore loneliness, memory, family, and the ways we carry grief and love. And people often ask for book recommendations on grief. They probably do at your shop, too. Mm-hmm. And the right choice really depends on whether, you know, where they are in the process. I've lost both of my parents, my father about 20 years ago, and my mother a little over 2 years ago. And depending on where one is in the grieving process, sometimes you want clarity and comfort, other times companionship in the strangeness of loss. And Exit Zero is surprisingly one of those titles that can be a good fit for those in that latter space, because these stories, they are surreal, they are tender, and some of them capture how disorienting grief can feel while still finding beauty and humor in the chaos. I like a book that lingers, and this is one of them. It's funny. It's haunting. It's about finding meaning and connection in a world that often feels pretty unsteady.
I have good news, bad news, good news, bad news. The bad news is we're out of time.
Ah.
And that is because we have a smaller slot because we're doing lockbox work. Mm-hmm. And but the good news is that I know everyone will help out the lockbox, help fill the lockbox, so that when we get back on schedule and the booksellers come back, they can have their full time. That's the good news, and that's really great. Also, you have the opportunity to see the entire list and to see everything that you may have missed by going to our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. You can also go to the individual bookstore sites, goldennotebook.com, check out their event, Sam Sussman, this Saturday.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. And kinderhookbooks.com, anything cool coming up?
Yes, we have John Klassen. He will be in our shop with Esme Shapiro, another illustrator. We have, that is the 26th, the Friday, if that is.
Yes,
the, okay.
Sounds
and then
right.
Saturday, we have Frank and I am now spacing.
Exit Lane?
There we go.
Exit Lane.
We've got so many exits. And she'll be with Christine Barbarich, who is the co-founder of Refinery 29. And then Sunday, we have Julia Phillips, the author of Bear, and she will be in conversation with Laura Vandenberg.
All right. You can check out all of this great information by going to Kinderhook Books for the Kinderhook Bookstore, and Golden Notebook can be found at goldennotebook.com. Both to Jackie and Mindy, thank you so much for being with us. It's a delight to have you here. Have wonderful events. Thank you for being here. I apologize for the shortened time. We'll make it up to you, I promise. And a delight to see you both. Great debut, by the way.
Thanks.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
We'll be right back.